Welcome to Stockhouse.com's Fireside Chat, where you get the lowdown on the sectors, the companies, and the trends which are competing for your investment dollar. Vulcan Minerals is a Canadian junior mining company with its operations based in the province of Newfoundland. Vulcan's business model is as a project generator and explorer. The company was a leading explorer for petroleum in western Newfoundland from 2007 through 2012. It made two unconventional natural gas discoveries, which Vulcan subsequently sold to its partner for a royalty and cash payment. Since late 2012, the company is focused on delineating a salt-slash-potash project in western Newfoundland through its subsidiary, Red Moon Potash. Over the last year, the company has expanded its mineral activities into precious and base metals in Newfoundland. The company has already identified and acquired two prospective land packages, the Colchester Copper Gold Project and the Lizard Pond Gold Project. Vulcan is planning initial exploration work on both of these properties this fall. Concurrent with this, the company has been developing its Red Moon salt-slash-potash project. In 2012, Vulcan spun out Red Moon Potash to its shareholders as a new public company. Vulcan Minerals retains a 65% ownership interest in Red Moon. The salt deposit is of high quality and has access to existing infrastructure, which improves its commercial potential. Hi, I'm Jeff Nielsen, head of editorial for Stockhouse Publishing, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Patrick Laracy, CEO of Vulcan Minerals. We're here today to provide investors with an in-depth perspective on Vulcan Minerals and its prospective new acquisitions in the province of Newfoundland. Thanks for joining me today, Patrick.
Thank you, Jeff. My pleasure.
Well, let's just dive right into the questions here. Let's start with this. Why has the company chosen to base its operations in the province of Newfoundland?
Well, Jeff, Newfoundland, of course, is our backyard. We're based here in St. John's. We've been exploring in Newfoundland, primarily in the oil and gas space for the period of time, as you mentioned. But we've always had mineral exploration projects here as well. So being local gives us a competitive advantage. We can get things done on a cost-effective basis. We know who the service companies are and where they're located and how to mobilize them. In this type of market, and we're very optimistic, enthusiastic, because we sense that the junior exploration market is starting to lift off the bottom. But it's still early days, so money is precious. So one of the things that we have to do is maximize value for the dollar that we spend, because that dollar is precious. So being in our backyard means that we can get maximum value for our exploration dollar.
Well, I'm sure shareholders appreciate that perspective. Now, let's backtrack a bit. What caused Vulcan to make the decision to change its focus from the Newfoundland oil and gas sector, and when was that decision made?
Well, that decision goes back a couple of years. We were heavily engaged in rank wildcat deep exploration for petroleum in western Newfoundland. We basically leveraged an expenditure of $10 million into $100 million worth of exploration work, both for oil and gas in western Newfoundland and offshore Labrador. It was very exciting times, and we were swinging for the fence, as they say. Now, our objective there was a conventional oil and gas discovery. We did make two gas discoveries and a shallow oil discovery, but those discoveries are unconventional, which means they require a lot of engineering and cost to extract that natural gas, requiring fracking and a significant investment, which was beyond our ability as a junior exploration company. So what we did is we said to our partners, which were based in Paris, France, a very substantial group, listen, guys, why don't you guys take the petroleum properties, give us a 2% royalty and some cash, and we'll move on and do something else. And if there's any production that comes from those lands, of course, we will be the beneficiary of it. That 2% royalty probably equates in the order of a current 15% working interest. So those projects are still in place, and our partners hopefully will advance them. Now, At the same time that we were exploring Western Newfoundland, we had accumulated a very significant geological database, and we had discovered a salt potash deposit. So when we stepped back from the petroleum exploration, we went back and looked at the salt and potash in a serious way and created Red Moon Potash as a subsidiary of Vulcan. Vulcan owns 67% of the shares. We actually dividended out shares in Red Moon to our Vulcan shareholders back in 2012. So Red Moon has been busy drilling off that salt deposit with the assistance of Vulcan, of course, and the expertise that Vulcan has as a result of its work in that basin, the St. George Basin. As a result, Red Moon has been able to put together a 43-101 compliant resource estimate that we released in January of this year, which demonstrates upwards of a half a billion tons of salt at 98%, which exceeds significantly the spec for road salt in the eastern North American seaboard market. And the big use for salt, of course, in the eastern seaboard is road salt. So Red Moon is currently in the process of soliciting a partner to fund a feasibility study to take that project forward. So in the interim, Vulcan then is looking at the landscape. And what's happened in the petroleum industry is that the costs of carrying out work, the service costs, the regulatory costs, the costs of carrying out unconventional exploration have really exceeded the ability of most junior companies. So we decided to pivot slightly and move back to our roots, which is base metals and precious metals exploration. And that process has happened over the last couple of years. And most intently over the last 12 months, we've looked at Newfoundland and Labrador, spent a lot of time researching projects in the province that were becoming available because, of course, of the ravishing bear market has forced a lot of license holders to give up their claims simply because they don't have money to spend on them. So we focused on several areas in the province to put together a first-rate portfolio of base metal and gold properties. That's what we've done, and that's what we're continuing to do. We've had the good fortune of having a significant amount of working capital, which allows us to acquire these projects and also to do the preliminary expenditures on them to keep them in good standing, to add value, to make them attractive, such that we can option them out to partners as this cycle matures on the upside and there's more money coming in to finance these types of operations.
Right. Now, you've already alluded to your commitment to preserving shareholder capital. So what are some of management's priorities when it comes to selecting a land package? And how do these criteria help to minimize shareholder dilution?
Again, you know, we're in our backyard. One of our criteria is that the project has to be accessible. We need to be able to drive up to this property, preferably in a car, not a four-wheel drive. I mean, we don't want to be spending our money on remote camps. We don't want to be spending our money on helicopters. We're not at that stage in the cycle where that type of money is available for projects, unless, of course, you had this miraculous project. Then, of course, you could justify remote access. But at this stage, there are some extremely good properties in Newfoundland. Newfoundland is a relatively unexplored area compared to most of Canada and other parts of the world, and there are historical reasons for that. And one of the things that we were blown away with when we went back to the archives, and the archives in Newfoundland are exceptional in the sense the government has kept very good records of all previous work. When we go back and look at that work, we're just amazed at the number of gold showings and base metal showings that have never had any serious follow-up. So we want to do that follow-up work, but we want to do it on projects that are accessible, which means that keeps our cost base down, which of course means that dilution will be less for the company because we won't be raising money to access remote projects. We'll be raising money to actually put that money into the ground and add value to the project. Just as an aside, our company has actually been around since 1996. We only have 58 million shares outstanding, and the company has never gone through a consolidation or a rollback of its share capital. So that demonstrates that we respect our share capital, and it demonstrates that we've been using other people's money and leveraging other people's money to carry out our exploration over the years, and we intend on doing that. You know, our share price right now is irrationally low. But the good news is we don't have to finance at these levels. We've got approximately $1.6 million cash in the bank, working capital, and that's going to be a lot of money for us in terms of getting us through the bottom of this cycle and getting us to a share price where we can finance on a reasonably dilutive basis, but not overly dilutive.
Well, that's a very impressive track record in terms of minimizing dilution. Now, let's try to translate those general criteria into your specific operations. What particular qualities attracted Vulcan to the Colchester and Lizard Pond properties?
Well, to start with the Colchester, area of Newfoundland is an area we call the Springdale Peninsula. It was a leading copper producer in the world back in the late 1800s, and it had a lot of historic mines that were producing million tons, several of them with rudimentary mining techniques. Those areas really have not been looked at with modern exploration techniques. So we want to go back and see if there's any extension or remaining reserves that can be identified in the Colchester. In fact, we know from historic resource numbers there's in excess of a million tons of 1.3% copper. And they didn't even analyze for gold back in those days simply because it was $35 an ounce and it really wasn't on the radar screen. So we know there's gold there from some subsequent work. But we know there's a resource there at Colchester. And based on our digitization of all of the analog historical data, a picture is emerging in our three-dimensional visualization software where we can see a lot of room on the Colchester deposits. In fact, they're open in all directions. So we think we can grow that resource substantially. And we want to throw state-of-the-art technology at these projects. And for us, we have a lean toward the geophysical side. And we want to make sure that we're putting state-of-the-art geophysical processing, 3D imaging, and interpretation to work. Because in Newfoundland, like most areas of southern Canada, A lot of these areas are covered by till and vegetation, right? You've got to be able to see through this till and vegetation. Geochemistry can get you so far, but in Newfoundland, it's mostly till. It's not true soil. So soil samples are of limited value. You really need to get some till samples. The other way to approach it or in complement with your geochemistry is state-of-the-art geophysics, not necessarily to identify drill targets always, but to use your geophysics to see through that mask of bog and till and to understand the geological framework underneath. And that will improve our odds of identifying favorable areas for mineralization that we can follow up on. The Colchester in particular had a recent airborne EM, VTM survey actually, back in 2005, I believe 2005, but it was never followed up on. The company that carried out that work turned to different projects. So there's a perfect example of a geophysical database that's not been processed or interpreted in the context of the mineralization on that property. So those are the types of properties we really like, geophysics that have not been properly interpreted or processed. Same thing goes for the Lizard Pond. It had an airborne mag survey, the VLF survey. Again, there's no evidence of anybody doing any proper interpretation. So that's a key part of the project that we're looking for. We can immediately add value at low cost by doing that geophysical interpretation work. Of course, that will assist us with defining the geology, adding value, and packaging these properties to a point where we can attract partners.
Right. So moving forward on Colchester and Lizard Pond, how will Redmond Potash's operations positively impact the operations of Vulcan Minerals?
Well, the operations of Red Moon are managed by Vulcan. We own 67% of the shares, of course. We've got a 43-101 compliant resource estimate there. So any positive development for Red Moon is obviously going to benefit Vulcan. Red Moon is going to do one of a couple of things. Either it's going to produce some cash from retaining a working interest as that project moves toward feasibility, and hopefully a mine, or Red Moon is going to end up selling its interests and perhaps retaining a royalty of some sort. Either way, Vulcan is going to be a beneficiary in a big way. And that's a good project to have. It is an industrial mineral. It doesn't get the same type of response in the marketplace that a gold discovery or gold resource would get. But the reality is, salt is a very valuable commodity on the East Coast. Sells for about $50 U.S. a ton. We could foresee a 2 million ton a year operation at our deposit there. We call it the Captain Cook deposit. That's a $100 million a year top line mine. And these mines are very environmentally friendly. They're effectively an underground quarry. There's no processing. The rock is 98% sodium chloride, so every pound of rock is a pound of ore. There are no environmentally deleterious substances produced from the mining. There's no tailings. A very friendly mining operation that could go into production quickly. So I think that's going to bear fruit for Vulcan Minerals and the shareholders of Red Moon as well.
Well, I'm sure those parameters sound very good to shareholders. Now, what are the company's exploration plans in the near term for Colchester and Lizard Pond?
In the near term, Colchester, right now we have a crew cutting a grid of approximately 25 line kilometers. We are cutting a grid in a particular area of Colchester. We call it the Old English Zone. It's the least explored zone at Colchester. And most importantly, it had some very encouraging gold numbers associated with it. The mineralogy there lends itself to what we believe is higher grade, more substantial gold intersections. So what we're doing is we're doing a first pass on an IP program, Induced Polarization Geophysical Survey, which measures the electrical properties of the rock. It's going to answer a couple of questions for us. It's going to define, we believe, the contact between an intrusive and a volcanic sequence of rocks. That contact or boundary seems to host the mineralization in this area. So if we can identify that boundary in more detail, that will be helpful to us moving forward. In addition, the IP survey itself should be able to identify the sulfide targets that we expect based on the historic work that was done. So we should be also able to come up with some drill targets. So it is a bit of an experiment to see if this method is going to work in this area. If it does, it could provide a tool to aggressively drill this property.
Well, that sounds very exciting. Now, what are management's longer-term plans for the company?
In the longer term, the company is going to focus on acquiring a high-quality portfolio of precious and base metal properties, particularly in this market when opportunities present themselves. The market is still in a distressed state. Properties are coming open to be restaked. properties that are still in good standing that are becoming available for very favorable option terms. It's the nature of a bear market. We're in good shape. We've got the cash, so we can be selective in terms of the projects we want to get involved in. And when we get to, as we grow that portfolio, we will add value to those projects, similar to what we've just discussed. And the aim would be to bring in partners to share the risk and to leverage our investment and to operate and carry out those operations on behalf of the partnership. We are here. We've got an excellent team, state-of-the-art technology, software, people, young people that are very knowledgeable, and we can get the work done on a cost-effective basis. So we want to put ourselves out there as one of the leading explorers in Newfoundland and Labrador and quite capable of carrying out the project on behalf of a joint venture or partnership.
Well, you've done a great job of providing a lot of detailed information for investors, so let me just briefly summarize this. Vulcan Minerals is a project generator with its exploration activities based in the province of Newfoundland. The company has a strong commitment to minimizing shareholder dilution, and to execute this priority, VUL focuses on land packages with good access and infrastructure. Vulcan's current operations are centered on two new acquisitions, the Colchester Copper Gold Project and the Lizard Pond Gold Magnesite Project. The company is planning exploration work in both properties this fall and just announced the commencement of a field program at Colchester. Concurrent with this, the company's standalone subsidiary, Red Moon Potash, will continue with development of its prospective salt deposit. As always, investors are advised to do their own due diligence before making any investment decision. This is Jeff Nielsen, and I have been speaking with the CEO of Vulcan Minerals, Patrick Laracy. Thanks for spending time with me today, Patrick.
You're welcome, Jeff. Thank you so much.